Paul tells us that we are to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we are taking a stand against the intolerance of large tech companies and internet monopolies. Ben Shapiro offers his perspective.
When Silicon Valley controls content and controls the standards, it's going to be even unconsciously biased to the left.
What is at stake for Christians?
If you don't use your freedoms, you will lose them. If you don't use them, you're going to lose them.
What should we do when the very freedom to share the gospel is at stake? Find out on today's Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. America once had a culture in which free speech was valued and our differences were thought to make us stronger. But that's no longer so today. Today, to disagree is to risk being called an intolerant hater, or even worse. And Christian and conservative viewpoints are being silenced and censored under the guise of tolerance and fighting so-called hate speech. On today's program, you will discover how some of America's biggest companies are discriminating against Christians. And we will share with you a vital resource to help you do something about it. As we begin, Dr. Richard Land, president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, has been at the forefront of our cultural battles for decades now. He recently sat down with our own John Rabe to discuss the new censorship of Christian and conservatives and the decline of true tolerance.
Dr. Land, thank you for joining us. There's a lot happening in our culture and a lot for Christians to deal with right now, isn't there?
Well, it's certainly a target-rich environment, yes.
Talk a little bit about how Christians and conservatives are now finding themselves censored on the internet.
Well, it's this new mindset that has come about that that if you say something that offends people, then you don't have the right to say it. And it started on the college campus, and it's now spreading out into the culture. And we're seeing it on the internet and on social media where they're saying, well, you know, you can't say that because it might hurt somebody's feelings. Well, you know, there's no constitutional guarantee against having your feelings hurt. My feelings get hurt all the time. And Christians have got to fight back.
Now, does it concern you when you look at the landscape and you see these essential media monopolies like Google, like Facebook, having so much control over the content of what goes out, where we actually see pro-life organizations having their videos scoured from the internet, where we see YouTube kicking
people
off the platform?
Well, I'm concerned for two reasons. I'm concerned for the reason that it seems to be very liberal censorship, but I'm also just concerned from a monopoly standpoint. You know, I'm not a socialist because I believe that the Bible is correct when it comes to the nature of man. Man is sinful. The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. If that's true, then socialism will never work because people are not going to work according to their ability and receive according to their need. But it's also true that pure, unadulterated capitalism won't work either because capitalists are also sinful, and they will seek to exploit, and they will seek to gain monopolies. That's why we had the Sherman Antitrust Act. That's why we have government regulation to ensure fair competition. And so I think that the government does need to look at some of these huge conglomerations that have come about as a result of the internet and social media and say, is there fair competition? And if there isn't, should they break them up the way they broke up Standard Oil in the late 19th century? I mean, John D. Rockefeller had a monopoly on the oil market, and that wasn't good for consumers.
Same with the phone company the 1970s and 80s. So we have seen a shift in the way that the debate takes place as well on a national level, where there was at one time tolerance. I may disagree with you, you may disagree with me, but that's just the price of doing business in a free nation. Mm-hmm. Where it does seem now that, let's be honest about who it is, that the left wants to use the heavy hand of government to silence dissent, mm-hmm. to silence those that they disagree with. It's not just enough to disagree. It's not even enough to win the debate. The other side has to be shut down, has to be taken off the playing field. What's behind that?
Well, there's an incipient totalitarianism on the left. There always is. It's always there. And it seems to be on the upsurge right now. But it's also aided and abetted by this insane idea that's taken root on our college campuses. It used to be that you and I could have a debate and we could say, well, I disagree with you, and here's why. Now, if I do that, they say that's a microaggression. that confronting someone with facts is a microaggression. That their opinion, to attack their opinion because it's stupid or it's ill-informed, is considered a microaggression. Or makes them feel bad. You know, you can't bring facts into the debate. Well, that's intellectual suicide. That's just an intellectual frontal lobotomy. And we just cannot put up with it as a society because we'll end up all talking gibberish.
At the end of the day, you know, many better people than Facebook and Google and the like have tried to silence the word of the Bible, have tried to silence the gospel. They've been unsuccessful. Eventually, these organizations will be unsuccessful as well, but God works through means, and that doesn't mean that we just sit back and wait for something to happen.
Well, I think that, you know, eventually, yes, but a lot of people can be terribly harmed, and their minds can be warped in the process until that happens. And I think, too, that, you know, Jesus commanded us to be salt and light. And if we're going to be salt and light, then that means salt and light in every area of society. Jesus looked at a decaying world and a world filled with darkness, and he said, you're to be a preservative, be salt. You're to be penetrate the darkness with light. And so that we have to go into every area of society and seek to be salt and light. And, you know, salt has to touch that which is going to preserve. If you have salt here and the problem's over here, it doesn't work. And Jesus said, let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we have to bring the light of the gospel close enough to the world they can see the light and feel the heat.
And D. James Kennedy Ministries is attempting to do that. We're in the midst of a federal lawsuit, as you and I speak right now, against Amazon.com for religious discrimination, for not allowing us to participate in their Smile program, based purely on
And
people.
I think you'll win at the Supreme Court level.
And we hope that we can get it to that point. Dennis Prager is suing Google for censoring PragerU videos. Mm-hmm. So people are standing up. What's the danger of not standing up? What happens if we just let it take place?
If you don't use your freedoms, you will lose them. If you don't use them, you're going to lose them.
Dr. Land, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
As Dr. Richard Land just said in that interview, he believes if we fight against this sort of censorship and the curtailing of our liberties, we will win. But it's a battle that requires us to take a stand. Dr. D. James Kennedy recognized from very early on that there would be attempts in this country to silence Christianity. His daughter and my very good friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, joins us now. Jennifer, your dad knew that this message would be one that threatens people in power and that they would oppose it, didn't he?
Yes, that is true, Frank. And he was convinced that these days were coming. My dad was a Christian and a patriot. He loved the legacy of liberty we were given by our forefathers as a result of their Christian convictions. He knew that the gospel of Jesus Christ carried the power to bring freedom to individuals and to nations. And he also knew that not everyone would embrace that freedom and that the gospel was a threat to tyrants. He had seen it proved out in the Bible and in 2,000 years of Christian history. In this portion of his classic message, Follow the Lord, my father looks at the conflict between true gospel freedom and those who would use the levers of government to control people and pursue their own ends, as he leads us to the most important freedom any of us can experience.
If someone asked you, what is the Bible all about? What would you tell them? Or what is the major theme of the Bible? What would you tell them? Well, a number of scholars believe that the major theme of the whole Bible is liberty. Think about it. Paul tells us that we are to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And it is an incontrovertible fact, as historians will tell you, that wherever the gospel of Jesus Christ and the pure grace of God has been proclaimed, there follows inevitably in its wake, as the light follows the night, a desire not only for spiritual liberty which has been obtained, but then for political and civil liberty as well. Our bell, made at the time of the Revolution, proclaims it well, taking its text from the Old Testament, "Proclaim liberty throughout all of the land." And that is exactly what we have been trying to do, and throughout all of the earth as well. It was for that that the Pilgrims and the Puritans came and this nation was founded. It was religious liberty that was enshrined and protected in the first of the Bill of Rights. And unfortunately, that protection of religious liberty has been twisted and distorted by the ungodly and made a hammer in order to destroy religious liberty right here in America. Every facet of the religious freedom which we have known and enjoyed for over 200 years is under attack. And ungodly and tyrannical and despotic governments have always known that Christianity is their greatest foe. Karl Marx was asked one time by a reporter what was he attempting to do. Note his answer. He was attempting to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. Most people would get the second one, but have never even thought that that was not his main purpose. His main purpose was to destroy God, dethrone God. Yes, humanists and atheists know that the church, Christianity, is the great impediment to their total takeover of the world. It is Christ who has the power to liberate and set people free from the shackles of sin, and this is what produces and perpetuates religious freedom. And since liberty is indivisible, when religious freedom disappears, it is not long after that other freedoms go with it. So I would ask you, since the main theme of the Bible is liberty, particularly religious liberty, have you been set free? Have you been set free from the shackles of your sin? We need people who have been set free by Christ, who know that they have been freed, who have trusted in the Savior as their only hope of eternal life, who have come to the cross and found that their shackles have been broken and they have been set free. They have been delivered from the slavery of sin, and they are new persons in Christ who are willing to stand up for liberty, even when it is not popular, to take a stand against the atheism and godlessness and immorality and humanism of our day. We need people who believe in the liberty that Christ can give, and the liberty that God-redeemed men have built into this nation.
As Dr. Kennedy just shared, freedom is the main theme of the Bible. And yet all around us, there are people who would curtail our liberty, seeking to silence the gospel and all biblical truth with it. In July, on this program, we will be airing a special documentary on the huge technology companies that are actively suppressing Christian and conservative views. Today, we take a preview of that vital program with our own John Rabe.
Well, essentially, these big tech companies are holding themselves out as being the new virtual public square.
Suddenly now you have these very powerful corporations which tend to be politically liberal and secular, and they have incredible power. YouTube, Amazon, Google, on Twitter, Facebook, on and on and on, they have incredible power.
I mean, when Silicon Valley controls content and controls the standards, it's going to be even unconsciously biased to the left.
A case in point of the liberal bias of the gatekeepers of social media involves a former employee of Google, James Damore. A brilliant young man who studied at MIT and Harvard, Google sought him for employment. All went well until he wrote a heartfelt memo in early August 2017 to try to increase the number of women engineers at the company. Women comprise only about one-fifth of the engineering staff at Google, which is the single largest entity controlling information in the world. The memo was called Google's Ideological Echo Chamber: How Bias Clouds Our Thinking About Diversity and Inclusion.
So he put out this memo that's pretty well established. He talked about things they could do to fix some of the problems with getting women into tech, such as making tech centers more socially friendly, because a lot of women don't like to go into tech. It means sitting in cubicles and not interacting with people, and women like to interact with people more in social environments.
Despite Damore's attempt to open the way for more female engineers in the male-dominated company, the memo was politically incorrect because it suggested real biological and psychological differences between men and women. He was immediately excoriated by his own peers.
They said this was offensive to people and discriminatory.
The reaction of the Googlers, what employees at Google call themselves, was swift and harsh. He was called repulsive and intellectually dishonest. One female Googler wrote, "We have zero tolerance for intolerance," and threatened to quit the company if Damore weren't fired by the end of the month. A male Googler promised to keep hounding Damore until one of them were fired. Within days of writing his internal memo to try and increase the level of female participation in the company, James Damore was hounded out of Google.
And how are you feeling right now?
I'm definitely hurt. I love Google, and I've always been a fan of Google even before I joined.
It has been reported that employees were awarded peer bonuses for publicly disparaging Damore's views. Ironically, one of the statements in Damore's now infamous memo is this: "When it comes to diversity and inclusion, Google's left bias has created a politically correct monoculture that maintains its hold by shaming dissenters into silence." Seeing no other recourse, James Damore decided to sue Google for unlawful termination of his job.
You've alleged that there's actually some illegal activity going on at Google, because that's why, presumably, they should be in trouble for firing you.
Did anyone at Google, before firing you, bother to respond to any of the points that you made?
No, they haven't really given any details. They've just, the entire time, either just called me names, shamed me, or just made broad generalizations saying that what I was saying was pseudoscience.
He sued them for discrimination on the basis of politics. And there are a bunch of documents that have come out from Google that demonstrate pretty clearly that Google has a very left-leaning sense of what is appropriate and what is not. James is a very taciturn fellow. He's not really loquacious. He doesn't strike me as somebody who's out there looking for a headline. And he's a pretty quiet dude who I think just wanted to go about doing his job. And he had a certain political point of view that is largely based in social science research that is well established. And he was treated as a pariah in the tech industry, which is not a shock.
The founders of our great nation said, okay, power is dangerous. We don't want monopolies. We want the people to have choices because we believe in the free marketplace of ideas. And we do believe that if we have a moral and religious populace, they will eventually choose right. And they don't have to have things chosen for them. So today, the people, that's us, have to fight for the right to have freedom, to have freedom to post our stuff on the web, to have freedom to speak in the marketplace.
And that's the history of the left. I mean, they gravitate to try to cut off any competition. Capitalism is good. I mean, look, it allows the free flow of ideas, and people are going to be creative, and they're going to find ways to get the content out there. But they are wanting to use, in many ways, they will use the government to suppress it, or they will try to limit the access. They don't want a free exchange of ideas.
When you begin to look at the size and the scope of whether it's the YouTubes, the Apples, the Facebooks, it's kind of unbelievable the amount of money and technology that they have. And we all carry the phones. I mean, most people either have Apple or Google in their pocket, and we're dealing with these monstrous companies that wield such influence. My hope would be that the government would step forward and say, wait a minute, you need to start playing by the rules. That if everybody else has to play by the rules, you have to play by the rules.
The new media gatekeepers like Google and Facebook hold virtual communication monopolies on the internet, and they have an ideological bias that comes to bear against Christian and conservative viewpoints, one that dramatically affects the information that you, your children, and your grandchildren are able to get. We have developed an important new resource on this issue that you really must have. It's our brand new book, just off the presses, called The New Gatekeepers, Censoring Christians in the Digital Age. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb joins us now for more. Jerry, this censorship question about gatekeepers that are controlling access to information in the internet world is really a question of the free flow of the gospel too, isn't it?
Yes, ultimately. You really have not just a war of ideas, as the Media Research Center puts it, but you have a war against ideas. So people will not even be exposed to the other side. And that includes the other side on hot button issues like abortion or like homosexuality. The fact that homosexuals can change through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This information is getting suppressed by these major gatekeepers. This book really explains the problem, exposes what's going on, and then it also talks about what we can do as Christians about it.
Well, it's vital that you get a copy of The New Gatekeepers, Censoring Christians in the Digital Age, and that you share it with your children and grandchildren. We will send it to you right away as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. And Jerry, we have a companion resource to go with the book, The Gatekeepers. Tell us about it.
Sure. Dr. Kennedy was way ahead of the curve. He could see way back when, you know, some of the things that were going to be happening on the horizon. And he could see how the new tolerance was being twisted in such a way that there would be no tolerance for those who would disagree. And so Dr. Kennedy preached some wonderful messages that we put together in a two-part series called Thieves of Liberty. And I think in his own classic and historic way, he shows us what happens when you shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves won't go in, but you prevent others from going in. That's what's happening in the censorship or the attempted censorship of Christian ideas.
Well, this week marks the end of our fiscal year, and I am asking you to please stand with us, both prayerfully and financially, to help us meet our obligations and to seize the new opportunities to stand for truth in this crucial election year. Your gifts today will also help us finish producing and airing our special documentary program on this important topic. We will send you the book, The New Gatekeepers, Censoring Christians in the Digital Age, plus the 2-DVD message, Thieves of Liberty, as our thanks for your generous donation of $50 or more. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Recently, the Christian legal group Alliance Defending Freedom, or ADF, which was co-founded by Dr. D. James Kennedy, Dr. James Dobson, and several others, was kicked out of Amazon's Smile charity program. The reason? They are laughably characterized as a hate group by, guess who? The far-left Southern Poverty Law Center, for upholding and defending a biblical view of marriage. ADF has argued numerous times and won before the United States Supreme Court, but to Amazon and the Southern Poverty Law Center, they are to be blacklisted for holding a view of marriage that was professed by Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton as recently as 2012. If any of this sounds familiar, it should. Last year, D. James Kennedy Ministries filed suit in federal district court against Amazon and the Southern Poverty Law Center because they labeled us a hate group in the same way. While our lawsuit is ongoing, these false and defamatory claims of hate are part of an ongoing tactic by cultural progressives to silence and marginalize Christians and conservative viewpoints as well. D. James Kennedy Ministries exists to stand and do battle against such false and malicious efforts. Our mission is to proclaim the good news of the gospel, to teach and nurture his followers, to equip and encourage believers to live out their faith, and to defend religious liberty. In our day, religious liberty is under assault in our courts, on our campuses, on the broadcast airwaves, and on the most important and powerful communications platform in human history, the Internet. Because freedom lost is seldom regained, it has never been more important for us to fight this battle in a nation predicated on Christian truth and freedom of religion. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
If we will not be governed by God, said one, we will be governed by tyrants.
So America, from its humblest catechisms to its greatest leaders, were all taught the idea that God is involved in American history through providence.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.